Meseches Vachon, Perigud Mishdalad until Perigud Mishzayin. The subject of this perek is the precedence which certain korbonos take over others, and we've seen so far two different rules for determining. The first rule was Kol HaTodim Rechaveiro Kodim Eschaveiro, that which is more frequently offered, for example, a korban tomid which is brought every single day, takes precedence over a korban which is brought less frequently, for example, a korban musaf, which has a fixed time, but it's less frequently than every single day. The second rule, which is what the perek elaborates on more, is the rule of kol hamekudosh mechaveiro kodem eschaveiro, that anything which is more sanctified, which has a higher level of holiness, that would take precedence over something else. Until now, the Mishnah has elaborated on this rule regarding animal korbanos, and now the Mishnah compares animal korbanos to korbanos of flour, which are considered to be less holy, and because of that, ha'ofos, bird korbanos, even though bird korbanos are considered to be less holy than regular animal korbanos, even bird korbanos, kodim lamenachos, take precedence over flour offerings. Mepneishen mine domim, because the bird korbanos are a type of korban which involves blood, a service involving blood on the mizbeach, and because the vast majority of korbanos involve this service of applying blood on the mizbeach, we see that's a very significant part of the bringing of korbanos, and that is a sign that those korbanos are considered holier. And therefore, if somebody has a bird korban and a flour korban to bring, he should bring the bird korban first. Now, within this category of a korban mincha, a flour offering, there are two different types. There's a minchas chote, which is a flour offering brought to atone for certain sins, those sins for which the Torah prescribes a korban mincha. And the Mishnah says that a minchas chote kodemes l'minchas nedava, that takes precedence over a flour offering which is brought voluntarily. Because a minchas chote is coming to atone for a sin, and that gives it a higher, more significant level, and because of that, it should be brought first. Now, regarding a regular animal korban, we learnt in Mishnah Beis that if we compare a korban chatas and a korban oila, then it depends. If we're talking about the service of the throwing of the blood on the mizbeach, then the korban chatos takes precedence, so if you have the blood of both korbanos which are ready to be thrown onto the mizbeach, then the blood of the korban chatos should be thrown first, because that atones for severe sins, whatever the reason was. We saw that the service of throwing the blood of a korban chatos takes precedence over throwing the blood of a korban oila. At the same time, if we have parts of a korban chatos and parts of a korban oila which are ready to be burnt on the mizbeach, then the limbs of a korban oila take precedence over the parts of a korban chatos which are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. So we see that it depends. On the one hand, a korban chatos is considered to be more holy, but in other respects, a korban oila is considered to be more holy. When it comes to bird korbanos, however, the Torah states explicitly v'hikves asher lachatos rishayna, that he should offer up the bird korban chatos first before the bird korban oila, even though we very well might have thought otherwise, because the bird korban oila is totally burnt on the mizbeach, whereas the bird korban chatos is totally eaten, it is not burnt on the mizbeach at all. Only the blood is applied to the mizbeach, but the Mishnah says that since the Torah says explicitly that the chatos comes first, therefore for the entire procedure of the korban chatos, chatos o'if, kaderes la'ilas o'if, the bird korban chatos takes precedence over the bird korban oila. And the Mishnah ends off, v'chein behekdesha, and the same applies when one is designating them to be holy, to be korbanos. And we're going to understand that this is really referring not to everything we've discussed until now. Some understand this is referring to everything. Whatever takes precedence over another korban regarding offering it up. If one wishes to designate two korbanos, he should also designate the more holy one first. But others explain that this part of the Mishnah is only referring to the bird korban chatos and the bird korban oila, where the Torah goes out of its way to show that the korban chatos has precedence. And therefore, even regarding when one designates them as korbanos, he should designate the more holy one first. He should designate the chatos bird before the oila bird. Mishnah Hey, just like we learnt in Mishnah Beis, kol hachatois shebat Torah kumis la'ashomais, any korban chatos in the Torah takes precedence over a korban asham. However, this Mishnah is going to show that there is an exception to that rule, chutz me'asham metzairah, except for the korban asham brought by a metzairah, somebody who had tzara'as, some sort of spots on his body, which made him tomei. He had to go through a whole purification process lasting 7 days, and on the next day he is obligated to bring 3 karbanos, a karban asham, a karban chatos, and a karban oila. And although he has already completed the main part of his purification process, he's still considered to retain with him a certain level of tumah, impurity, until he brings his karbanos. Now we would think, based on the rule of the chatos coming before the karban asham, that out of these 3 karbanos, he should bring the chatos before the asham. However, the Mishnah says, no, in this case, the karban asham is brought first. Other Mishnahs read which we're going to translate to mean that it comes in order to make somebody fit. Meaning as a result of these karbanos being brought, the Metzora will become pure fully. And because we see that the karban asham out of all these 3 karbanos is the main karban involved in making the Metzora pure, we apply part of the blood of the karban asham onto the Metzora himself. So because the main part of the purification which is gained as a result of bringing the karbanos is from the karban asham, so in this case the karban asham takes precedence over the karban chatos. Kol ha'ashamai, says the Mishnah, going slightly sidetracked now, to discuss an additional way in which a karban asham of a metzora is different to a regular karban asham. Kol ha'asham is Shabbat Torah, all other karban asham, any other karban asham which somebody would need to bring in the Torah, boim b'nei shtayim, come from a ram which is 2 years old, or at least it's significantly into its second year. It has to be at least 13 months. That is the animal which needs to be used as the karban asham. Uboim b'kesef shkolim, and it must be worth at least 2 silver shekels. This is the requirement which the Torah states. It states it regarding one particular asham, but we learn all of the other karbanos from there. But the exception to this rule is chutz mi'asham nozir v'asham metzora. There are 2 exceptions. Except for the karban asham brought by a nozir at the completion of his period of being a nozir, v'asham metzora, and the karban asham brought by a metzora, shehein boim b'nei shnosan, because the Torah writes that the animal needed for these types of karban asham is a younger sheep, a lamb in its first year, a male sheep in its first year. And because the Torah says that a different animal is required, so we no longer learn the law that it needs to be worth at least 2 shkolim, because that was stated regarding a karban asham, which is a ram in its second year. As the Mishnah says, ve'einam boim b'chesef shkolim, it does not need to be worth at least 2 silver shekel. Mishnah Vov, k'shem shem komin ma'akavoson, just like and according to the way that karbanos take precedence over other karbanos in terms of offering them up, kachin koimin ba'achiloson, so too they take precedence regarding eating them. As we have emphasized through much of this mesechta, the bringing of a karban involves 3 parts. The services involved in slaughtering and transporting the blood and applying the blood onto the mizbeach, that's part 1 of the procedure. Part 2 of the procedure is offering part of it onto the mizbeach. And part 3 of the procedure of bringing the carbon is the actual eating of the carbon, and that itself is considered part of the procedure of bringing the carbon. It's true that regarding virtually all carbonos, the carbon is still considered totally valid, even if it doesn't end up being eaten, and that doesn't invalidate the carbon. However, it is considered to be a part of the procedure of bringing a carbon, and there are certain laws governing how this part of the procedure should be performed. For example, the order in which the carbonos need to be eaten. Shalom shel emesh u'shalom shel ayom. If somebody has a karban shalomim which he offered yesterday, and he also has a karban shalomim which he offered today, the time limit for eating a karban shalomim is until the end of the following day, nightfall of the following day. The Mishnah says shel emesh kaidmin, the karban shalomim of yesterday takes precedence over the karban shalomim of today for one of 2 reasons. Firstly, it will be considered dishonorable to the karban shalomim of yesterday if the person prefers to eat more new and fresh meat from today instead of that karban. It's almost like rejecting the previous karban for the sake of more fresh meat. And in addition to that, a more obvious reason, that he's got a shorter time to eat it, and the karban will become invalid as much as it hasn't been eaten by nightfall, and therefore we want to make sure that doesn't happen. And so you should eat the karban shlomim, which has a closer deadline, first. Now what happens if somebody has shlomim shel emesh, he has a karban shlomim which he brought yesterday, so he has until the end of today, until nighttime today, to eat that korban shlamim, the chatas v'osham shel hayoyim, and he has a korban chatas and a korban osham which he bought today. And the deadline for those korbanos is going to be the next day. Over here we have an argument. Shall emesh koymin divrei Rabbi Meir? According to Rabbi Meir, yesterday's korban shlamim takes precedence. For the same reason, you have a shorter deadline, a closer deadline. It would also look like a bit of a dishonor towards yesterday's korban to go for more fresh meat. And therefore, yesterday's korban shlomim takes precedence. However, the chachomim say achatos kedemes. The korban chatos takes precedence, and the same goes for the korban osham because it is part of the group of korbanos which have a higher level of holiness. And such a korban always takes precedence over the other korban. So even though it could be you have a longer time to eat it, and one might think that it's a bit dishonorable to yesterday's korban, that's not true because this is considered a preferable korban. So it does take precedence. It's not considered dishonorable to the other korban, because this korban is supposed to be holy and takes greater significance than precedence. Mishnah Zayin, or the Kulam, and in all of these korbanos which we've been discussing, particularly we're talking over here about korbanos which are eaten, HaKohanim Rashoin L'Shanis Ba'Achilasan, the Kohanim are able, they have permission to eat the korbanos in a variety of different ways. L'Ochlan Tzluin, they're able to eat it roasted, Shalukim, we're going to translate as meaning slightly overcooked, Umuvasholim, or cooked in a regular way, boiled. There's no prescribed way in which they need to be eaten. V'Losis the Sechon Tavli Chulin, they're able to put spices which are chulin, they are not sanctified at all, it's regular food, they're able to put those, add those to the meat of the korbanos, even though in general, one is not allowed to bring non-sanctified food items into the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard, and it's forbidden to eat the regular food in the Beis HaMikdash or the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard. Nevertheless, over here where it's coming to improve the meat of the korbanos, it is permitted, it's learned from Pesukim, that the korbanos are supposed to be eaten in the way that kings eat. So it should be eaten in the way that one prefers, in the most respectable manner. We're talking, of course, about korbanos eaten by Kohanim. That's why they're eating it inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the mission now discusses whether they are able to use spices of truma. Truma is the part of one's produce which one needs to give to a kohen, and it is forbidden for anybody who is not a kohen to consume truma. The truma has a certain level of holiness to it. It's not as holy as korbanos, but it's considered holier than regular food. And the Mishnah says, v'tavli truma, they are also able to add truma spices to the korbanos. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. However, Rabbi Meir says, lo yitein asoich v'tavli truma, one is not allowed to add truma spices to the korbanos, shelo yovi es ha-truma lidei psul, so as not to increase the chances of making the truma invalidated, because there are many invalidations which apply to korbanos which don't apply to truma, and a korban which becomes invalid needs to be burnt and destroyed. So by adding the truma to the korbanos and making the spices part of the meat, you're increasing the chances that the truma will need to be burnt. It's forbidden to burn truma, of course, and just to destroy it if it is not invalidated. But if it's added to the korbanos, then you're increasing the chances of the truma itself becoming invalidated and forbidden to consume. And according to Rabbi Meir, it's forbidden to do something which will increase the chances of something holy becoming invalidated. We'll just note that Rabbi Shimon over here is consistent with his opinion in the 8th Perek, where we saw a similar argument regarding different korbanos which are mixed together, whether one should wait for the korbanos to gain a wound and then redeem it onto different korbanos. And Rabbi Shimon over there was of the opinion that there is no need to do that. Rather, one can bring both korbanos and just treat both of them with the more stringent laws, with the laws of the more stringent korban, which is in the mixture. We see over there as well that Rabbi Shimon is not concerned for the fact that you're making it now more likely for this korban to become invalidated.